We're so glad you're with us today. We got some great stuff for you. You know, we put out a post that asked if you have any questions about the Bible, Christianity, something maybe that's out there that you've always wanted to ask. You didn't. Well, we didn't really get any responses. So, I don't know what happened. But
I guess they just
have no questions. You know everything.
Yeah, that's good. Many a
well
good taught. Bible teacher, yeah.
But we thought, you know, because you can use these to share with people, maybe questions they have. So the next best thing, we did a search of Google's most searched questions. So we have a couple of the top ones that are searched.
And you know, just to add to that, you know, one of the reasons we wanted to do this is because it's always in my heart to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And we know that you guys run into people who have questions, and so it's our heart to equip you to be able to engage when people have legitimate questions concerning the Bible's position on tough topics.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Google has some tough topics for us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And there, you know, is you know, of course, some of these ones, if you was just to put them out as a post, would you would probably get
oh my goodness
giant battles.
Controversy is on the way, you guys.
But as always, what we try to do and what Jeff's going to do, I say we, it's really going to be him answering, but what is
I'm on the firing line.
We want to see what the Bible, yes, if you don't like the answer, well, it's not him. You could,
that's right.
Then you need to take it up with the man, you know, because it's going to be
and I'm
what
not
the Bible
the man.
Says about it. Yeah, yeah. So the number one question
yes.
is, you know, can women serve as pastors? And I've heard that asked to me here, or they'll say, you know, we don't see the women doing this, or is it, what's the...
You see them in some churches, not in other churches,
exactly.
You know, can women serve as pastors? And thank you, Google, for throwing us right off in to the deep end. But, you know, listen, and it's a hot topic in the church world today. And the reason I believe that it's such a hot topic is because in some ways, people look at this question of can a woman serve as a pastor almost as if it's a matter of equal rights, you know, as opposed to God-ordained roles in which we function and which we are to fulfill. I mean, you know, are women just being oppressed in this way, being held back? Is this a matter of chauvinism, maybe, you know, discrimination? You know, I've known women, and I'm sure you have as well, who say, no, you know, women should not. It's not right. Others who think that it's absolutely right. Men who think it's fine, others who say it shouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. But the issue really, Jody, isn't, I mean, come on, somebody, is the issue really what I think or what you think or what anyone really thinks?
Not at all.
It's really a matter of what does the Bible say, which you have already alluded to. And do I truly believe the Bible to be God's inerrant, infallible word?
Yeah.
Can we come to that conclusion? Because if we can solve these dilemmas, right? And the truth is that within the context of the church, God has assigned roles for men, roles for women to walk in and to fulfill. And it's not a greater, lesser, you know, it's roles and responsibilities. Now, Jody, you've known me a long time, and anyone who has known me for any time at all knows that I'm not much of a, like, a fix-it kind of a guy. You know, I mean, like, for instance, if my car breaks down, how many times have you caught me wrenching on my car in my whole life?
Can't remember.
Probably none. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, in my whole life—
I've been stranded with you a couple times.
Yeah, and, you know, and I've maybe changed the oil a dozen times in my life or something like that. I need a new roof. I'm probably not the guy to do it. I mean, I'm going to hire someone proficient at those trades. Yeah. But I know enough to know that a hammer cannot, nor was it created to function in the role of a screwdriver.
Right.
You know, screwdriver doesn't really function well as a wrench. I mean, sometimes we try, but they weren't intended to fulfill those roles.
Right.
Their purpose is to fulfill the role for which they were designed, for which they were created. And we can see that. We can connect with that in the physical and in the practical. But for some reason, we struggle with this same concept or accepting this same reality in the spiritual.
Yeah.
Now, Paul wrote to Timothy very clearly, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Now, I know that's right there already. You're thinking, yeah. Just hold tight.
Sorry,
for
husbands.
Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So the roles that God has assigned to men and women within the context of the church are rooted in A, creation, and B, the way that sin entered the world. God created Adam first, and sin entered the world through Eve.
Yeah.
So the short answer is that God forbids women to have, and I want to qualify this, spiritual authority over men, which would preclude or disqualify biblically a woman from serving in the role as a pastor, teacher of the church body. Now, I want to say this. When Paul says there in that passage in 1 Timothy that, you know, for the woman to be in silence.
Yeah.
Context is always key, man.
Yeah,
I mean, it's with regard to teaching or having spiritual authority over the men. When you read the Bible, you discover in your New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about women praying. He talks about women prophesying. You know, I mean, women serve, they excel, and as far as I know, every gifting of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, be it teaching. Guys, I've heard incredibly gifted women teachers. I've sat and listened to several. You know, hospitality, evangelism, mercy, serving, helps. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever the gift, prophesying. Yeah. Truth be told, Jody, and I know this will resonate with you as well, generally many more women serve in a church than men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thank God, you know, for the women who serve, and I would offer pretty hearty rebuke to the men who won't.
Yeah.
You know, men, listen, men are just, for some reason, they're so often so full of so many lame excuses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now some have legitimate reasons, but for the most part, men offer lame excuses.
They can be reserved about even exercising spiritual gifts, whereas women can really.
Yeah, they'll just pour. Just pour out. So, really, there are zero restrictions on women within the church from serving. Or you know, functioning in the gifts that God has given to them.
Yeah.
The only caveat is that God has reserved the one role of the pastor, teacher, elder is a synonymous word with that. And I throw the word elder in because the responsibility, as you read through Timothy and Titus, of the elder is the ability to teach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says of the elder, let him be the husband of one woman. Well, it's hard to be the husband of one woman if you're not a man.
Exactly.
So, I mean, but beyond that, guys, that's the one. Women can have authority over men in every other context, you know, whether it's managing a project, a store, a CEO, Fortune 500, President of the United States, the Bible doesn't limit really any position save the one, and that is spiritual authority over the man.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, listen, honestly, I know there are all kinds of objections out there. Time would forbid us to touch on them all.
Right.
But again, I think it comes back to what does the Bible say? And do we agree that it's God's infallible, inerrant word? Do we truly believe that God is good?
Yeah.
And that God has all of our eternal best interest and His eternal glory at heart? If we believe that, you know, there's really no issue. Now, I know, you know, quickly here that some may say, well, what about Deborah?
Right.
You know, what about Miriam? They bring up these Old Testament examples, ladies that led in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And were wonderful models of leadership. But listen, what God was doing under the old covenant in ancient Israel really has no bearing on how God has structured the church under the new covenant. Yes, God used Priscilla and Aquila to disciple Apollos and probably, you know, many others. And again, teaching is a wonderful gift that many women have been given. But there's no indication that Priscilla was pastoring a church, you know, or leading a congregation of believers.
Right.
God has, in His sovereignty, chosen to give men the primary teaching role in the church, which means, men, God is going to hold us accountable, yeah. right? And so back to that no more lame excuses kind of a thing, we need to step up and be examples of spiritual leadership as God has called us to be.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, just like with that, it has you're answering a very specific question, and but there's like lots of fingers going out there.
Sure,
and
rabbit
trails. And we'll see with the next question the same way. I just wanted to say, you know, first off, like we mentioned right off, you mentioned the Bible. Hey, our YouTube channel, we have we have a one video on just the Bible, the infallibility of the Bible, how to study the Bible. Great. And now this obviously is our online service, but you know, we may have, we can spend more time.
You can, we can develop these.
Shoot us a message, a direct message, email. Hey, I want you to make a whole show on just women or just, you know, whatever, one question.
Absolutely.
Or one thing. We would definitely be open to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, but the next question is, again, you keep it very specific because it does cover a broad, but what does the Bible say about homosexuality? You know, is it sin? Can someone be a Christian? Like, yeah, I'm a Christian and I'm a homosexual.
So can I be gay and still be a Christian? Now listen, I think most people know what the Bible says about homosexuality, you know, even if they don't know or can't quote, you know, chapter and verse.
Right.
The problem, it seems, again, to me, is that so many people, Jody, we have this thing, you know, that it's a Bible, right?
Right.
Which is referred to as the sword of the Spirit, right?
Right.
And this is the way that God's word describes itself, as the sword of the Spirit. And you know, so many people kind of swing this thing, you know, like it's a hack and slash.
Right.
You know, they grab their sword and they swing it with such ferocity. It's like a hack and slashing of victims rather than to use it as it was intended, to delicately open the heart like a surgeon's scalpel. And it just precisely isolates an issue. And ultimately, God's word, if it's used correctly, though it does not dance around, you know, calling cancer, cancer,
right.
But it's used to bring help and healing to a person rather than to leave them hurting and wounded and worse off, you know, in the end. Because people struggle to reconcile the fact that if they were born with an inclination toward homosexuality, yet the Bible condemns homosexuality as sin, which it does, and we'll get into that. We'll talk about that. Then it seems, you know, when I try to connect these dots, I'm born this way, God condemns this thing, so God has condemned me just for being who I am.
Right.
You know, and so that if I can't control the fact that I'm gay, no different than I can control what my hair color is going to be or how tall I'm going to grow, you know, then why should I be condemned for that? And these are real questions that people have. Because it seems as if there's a disconnect, you know what I mean? And because of that, it leads to controversy, debate, and in some cases, like real hostility. Okay. First of all, I do want to establish the fact that biblically, homosexuality is sin. We just need to establish these things. Now, we could look at the Old Testament, but for time's sake, let's just stick to the New. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, Paul begins to speak of the fact that God, or that man, rather, has rejected God. That man has began to worship the creature rather than the creator, and professing to be wise, they became fools, and all of this. And we read beginning in verse 24, therefore, or because of these things, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. And for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, meaning, you know, that in order to procreate, it has to be a man and a woman to come together. But so nature testifies that the male-female is the natural order, right? And so, but men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Or to understand all of that another way, at its root, homosexuality is simply another testimony to the fallen nature of man. In other words, it's not in accordance with God's original intent when he created them male and female. Now, this isn't saying that every person who is gay has been, you know, given up on by God or anything like that, but rather that homosexuality resulted from man's, originally, it resulted from man's rejecting God and giving himself over to his own passions rather than pursuing God's heart, God's will for his life. In 1 Corinthians, we read this, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Well, what do you mean, unrighteous? Paul goes on, "Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, and nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." So Paul is saying, hey, don't fool yourself. If you think you can make a lifestyle, a habitual practice, and perhaps even seek to find your identity in those things that God has shown to be sin, those things truly for which Jesus died on the cross and still go to heaven, you're sadly mistaken. And so he lists a number of things here. It's not like he isolates one over the other. He lists a number of things that would be identified as what we would call works of the flesh to give us an idea of what he's talking about as unrighteous behavior.
Yeah.
So listen, the Bible is clear. Homosexuality is sin. Now, if someone were to ask, well, can I be gay and still be a Christian? You know, we would have to split that hair. I would give them a yes, but no answer. He says, well, what do you mean? Well, listen, if you were born with an inclination towards same-sex attraction, well, then really all you're doing, no different than anyone else, is testifying to the fact that you have a sin nature.
Yeah.
The Bible is clear that all sin and have fallen short of the glory of God. That there are none who are righteous. Nope, not one. Now, the things that may manifest in my sin nature may be different or may vary from the things that manifest in your sin nature, but the common denominator is that we all have a sin nature.
Yeah.
And the characteristics of that, the way it manifests may be different, but it's all rooted in sin. You know, some are born with an inclination maybe toward violence. They get angry at the drop of a hat. But, you know listen to me. Having an inclination, that is experiencing temptation, isn't in itself sin. You know, it's when I move into the gratifying of my temptation, that's when I sin.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, the Bible's clear that Jesus was tempted, you know, yet without sin.
Yeah.
And so the point is that acting on temptation versus the passive condition of being tempted, these are two totally different things. Now, I want to go on record saying this as well. You know, as it pertains to being born gay, that really doesn't move me, you know, any more than any of us, as I said, being born with a sin nature.
Right.
And that's why the Bible declares, someone's like, well, I've been born this, look, we've all been born this way. What way? With a sin nature.
Right.
And that's why the Bible says that we've got to be born again, right? We've been born once of the flesh, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, Jesus said. So we've got to be born again as by the Spirit. But that doesn't mean, you know, and you well know, well, we've been around long enough to see that just being given a new nature in Christ, that doesn't mean you're never going to struggle with the temptations of the old nature or to struggle with old sin.
Yeah.
You know, when we see him, when we see Jesus, we'll be like him. But until then, struggles, temptations, inclinations, they may very well simply be a reality, you know, for all of us.
Yeah.
Now, for some, and you've no doubt seen this as well, when they give their life to Christ, the transformation is so radical, you know, that the things they struggled with previously, they're just gone.
Yeah.
They don't struggle with them anymore, regardless of what it was. The Lord just takes those things from them. Now, for others, you know, we're drawn to the foot of the cross on the regular so as to find strength through God's grace in our weakness. You know, come therefore boldly to the throne of grace that you might find help in time of need. So struggling against sin isn't sin.
No.
And I think sometimes people blur that line, like, I'm really struggling with this. I'm really, you know, it's giving into sin.
Yeah.
That's sin, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why Paul said, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You know, I may be susceptible to fits of rage. It doesn't make it okay for me to give into that and explode at every provocation.
Right.
Well, the same holds true regarding homosexuality or really any other sin. Mm-hmm. Just because one is inclined in that direction doesn't make it okay to act on that inclination. Now, I also think, and I just want to say this, I think it's important to know where our identity lies.
Yeah.
You know, I should not seek to find my identity in my sexual preference or my career or, you know, any other thing. As believers, our identity exclusively is in Christ. And regardless of our inclination toward one sin or another, we are all, this applies to all, as believers, we are all called to crucify the flesh. We're all called to resist temptation. We're all called to be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the Word of God. We're all called to walk in the Spirit and not to fulfill or gratify the desires or the lusts of the flesh. So, you could give your life to Jesus and still struggle with these desires.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you have to act on them. That's where the problem comes in. I would also say this. Now, we kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, but just to state it, the Bible does not highlight homosexuality as a sin that's any greater than any other sin.
No.
All sin, guys, all sin, regardless of the type, is offensive to God.
Right.
You know, you might be a habitual liar. You know, you just, for whatever reason, you make stuff up. You could be, I don't know, a gossip, whatever. Apart from Christ, we're all lost.
Yeah.
You know, and God's forgiveness is available to all.
Yeah.
Why? Because for God so loved
the world.
The world. Yeah, you're fine.
I was reading.
Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, all have sinned.
Yeah.
Therefore, salvation has been made available to all.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the sin that ensnares us, you know. And so that's my encouragement. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. You know, you give your life to Christ, and he'll take it from there.
Yeah.
So, guys, that's our quick response to the top two most searched questions, at least that we discovered, on Google. But we kind of keeping it brief because we want to transition into something.
Yeah.
And so I'll let you take it from here.
Okay. So we want to really just share. Listen, you know, I don't know if you know or not, but I handle a lot of the Facebook posts and the things we put on there. But there was one, was it last week or the week before, that just instantly lit up everything. Some, you know, sometimes we, you know, we put stuff out and sometimes you get a great response and sometimes not so much, you know, you just, we just cast everything that's out there is to just try to edify the body and for everyone to
and
use
to equip
to share.
Them. Yeah.
And they can use it to share and witness. So, you know, even that's again, the video of this video and where we're talking about questions and those are great things to share with people.
Absolutely.
That have questions, you know, but, there was one that lit up the board, they would say, I guess, or whatever, and that was the one about the fact that we're opening June the 7th.
Yes, praise God.
Yeah, that one just went crazy. Everyone's like, ooh, and, you know, we're in. So yeah, everyone's excited to be together. And then, and the, of course, the thing says together, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and so what are we going to, what to expect, right? Right? How are we going to do this?
Right, you know, because you go, like, oh, you know. I remember I was excited. I don't know which restaurant, but this restaurant's open. I think it was IHOP. I had breakfast, you know. And you go in, it's like, oh, they really
want
you.
We'd love a free breakfast, you know, for that plug,
all these
IHOP.
These tables had X's taped on them.
Yeah,
and they've got, you know.
Everyone's wearing a mask.
Yeah, and they set you here, and there's no salt or pepper. Right. You have to ask for it.
Yeah, things have changed for now.
So, you know, same way with the church. Mm-hmm. Hey, what do we expect? You know.
Well, listen, you know, we sent out a little video, just kind of an overview a few weeks ago. But I wanted to touch on some details for you guys, just to kind of help eliminate perhaps any worries, concerns, questions. How are we handling all of this crisis, you know? And listen, guys, at the end of the day, everyone has an opinion.
Right.
Oh, it's too much. Oh, it's not enough. Oh, you know, it's a conspiracy. Oh, everyone's going to die. I mean, you know, we shouldn't open. We should have been open 2 months ago.
Right.
At the end of the day, we have to pray and seek the Lord and do as we believe God is leading us to do within the confines of Scripture. Yeah. You know, and Scripture encourages us to comply with the authority that's over us. Romans 13, that's been thrown around a lot lately because it applies.
Right.
And so that's what we're doing. And as you guys know, in May, our city said, well, we'd like to keep your gatherings to 25%. Yeah. Well, that just didn't seem feasible to me.
Yeah. You turn people away.
You turn people away. What? Yeah, I mean, you know. And so in June, they said, all things going well, we can go to 50%. Yeah. And so that seemed like something that we could latch on to. But here's what we've done. We have instantly gone to two services, right? We want to create two services, one at 9 a.m., and one at 10:50. And now here's the details that you guys need to be aware of. As the CDC has requested for now, we're not even going to open the doors of the church save 5 minutes before service.
Right.
Okay? So if you're coming to the 9 o'clock service, you'll be in your car until 8:55.
Right.
And the 9 o'clock service is reserved for the immunocompromised or, you know, people in an elderly demographic or anyone who has a concern for their health in that situation. And it's going to be like a family-style service. And what that means is we're not offering children's ministry. But if you have children who have a compromised immune system, they're more than welcome to come to this service, but they will be seated with you in the sanctuary. Now, I should also say this. It doesn't offend me. As a matter of fact, I would say it's just fine to let your child, if you want to bring your child, and let's say your child's 4 or 5 or 6 or, you know, 3, whatever, you can entertain them by letting them play on your phone so that they can remain occupied while I'm teaching. That's fine. Maybe put headphones on them or something, or turn the phone all the way down or whatever. I don't want you to feel like it's rude or offending me if your child is doing something. As a matter of fact, I would kind of appreciate them being occupied so others can you know, hear and not be distracted. But either way, I'm just letting you know it's not a problem. On that 9 o'clock service, the church staff, now not the worship team, not myself, but the ushers, the greeters will be wearing masks. Mm-hmm. They'll have gloves. Every adult and child coming in the first service, we have a touchless thermometer. Mm-hmm. They'll just be zapped real fast, let in, and seated. We're asking you to let us seat you because we've designed the sanctuary to have the 6-foot spacing and all of that to help honor, again, those with concern or you know, what the CDC has asked of us. So I think that covers the first service, and we're going to try to keep it succinct enough that everyone can, we're going to have one entry. You only come in through the one main door, and everyone leaves through the south door. Okay, so there's going to be a flow here where you can only come in this way and you can only go out that way. And when it comes to receiving the tithe and the offering, stuff like that, we're not going to pass anything. The ushers will carry, they will be masked and gloved, and they will just pass it in front of you. And if you are able or want to give, great. If not, it's not added pressure or anything like that. It's just availing the opportunity. So that, I believe, covers that. And then we want to get everyone out, if you will allow me that term, in plenty of time for us to then re-sanitize for the second service. Also, you should know this. Every servant will have their temperature taken before they're even allowed to serve.
Right.
And so everyone's going to be in the clear before they're put in their position of service. And then we'll, when everybody's gone, we will re-lock the door. We'll clean all of the fixtures, all of the toilets, all of the faucets, and things like that. And then we will reopen at 10:45 for the 10:50. Now, on the 10:50 service, every child and every infant. Now, we are offering children's ministry for the 10:50 service.
The second service.
You don't have to utilize it. You're welcome to. I will say, again, all of our servants will be tested with regard to the fever and all, and they will have their hands clean, but I'm not going to require them to wear a mask to teach your children. I don't know, just in my mind, it's kind of, it creates isolation, maybe even fear in some regard. I could be wrong on that, but it's just our policy as of now. We are trying to limit our classes only up through the fourth grade. To create more, just again, this is through June, guys. Let's keep it in context. We're looking at the next few weeks here. And that way we can keep our classes smaller, and we could actually have a class for each grade, you know. And so every child will be kind of zapped with that touchless thermometer. Every infant touched or zapped with the touchless thermometer. And you, again, you don't have to utilize a children's ministry, but you're more than welcome to. Let's see here. Here's one. There won't be any food or coffee that we're providing. Sorry. But again, it's just to kind of help people from congregating or, you know, 1,000 people touching the coffee pot. Now, we do have our own little coffee area.
We're basically sitting in it.
And our staff there will have them gloved and masked, and it, on your way out, that's the only time you'll be able to access it.
Oh, I got you.
But on your way out, if you want to grab a coffee, now if you want to bring a coffee from home or whatever, that's fine, but we just won't be availing them for through June. There will be hand sanitizer in every classroom and in various stations throughout the church. We do have, and this is again why we're asking you to allow us to seat you, because we have, the sanctuary is a little bit different. We have structured it in such a way as to honor the 6-foot social distancing requirements. And we're just asking that you would honor that as well as we transition back into our services. Let's see here.
How about this? What if I'm a hug guy, and I see, I'll call somebody out, Jeff Law. I want to give him a hug. Is that okay?
Second service, you guys are going to have to feel that out on your own. You can do the old, you know. What we're doing is we're structuring the sanctuary in such a way as to honor those who have that concern.
I gotcha.
You know, and here's the other thing. Once you leave the church, once you're in the parking lot, you know, you can fellowship to your heart's desire. Yeah, it's the Wild West out there. But we're just trying to be sensitive to what has been asked of us here.
Gotcha.
Here's the other thing. Again, if you think you're sick, just stay home.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you think you're not sick. Maybe you just think allergies got you. Just stay home. You know, just stay home, stay safe. I mean, you know, your salvation's not in jeopardy, you know, because you decided to stay home to make sure that what you had was just allergies. Or if you have an infant or so, and in your mind, you know they're just teething. That's why they have a fever. They're just teething. So they're snotting and they're fevery and this, that. Just stay home.
Yeah.
That way no one else is worried about it. We don't have to do any explanation or justification. Right. You know, just think of others in that capacity. But I believe, you know, that that's what we can expect.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the main thing. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And guys, that's the goal. As I said earlier, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be real honest. There's a lot of this stuff that I personally wouldn't subscribe to.
Right.
Personally.
Right.
I know there are others that, like, it's law for them.
Right.
Exactly. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because it's not about what I think or what you think. Mm-hmm. It's about what does the Bible say.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that if there's one, if there's any law, it's there's one, and it's love.
Yeah.
We're to love one another.
Yeah.
And we're to endeavor to keep the spirit of unity in the bond of peace.
Yeah.
And so in that, you know, we want to be peaceable with one another. We want to love on one another. Look, if you know, the servants in a mask and gloves will accommodate your sense of security, guess what? We're going to put our servants in masks and gloves, you know. And I'll stay 6 feet away from you, you know. I'll be teaching up there. And but I'm also available for hugs and handshakes. As a, you know, and then I'll wash my hands between services and all the stuff. Okay. So, but anyway, that's the kind of the short and long of it.
Yeah.
And the main thing is, like I said, we're just excited to be together, get in God's word.
I'm excited to worship together too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hear all the voices. And I mean, I love the online stuff, but it's gonna, it's not the same as just we're all lifting our voices.
There's just an anointing that comes when we all come together. Yeah, you know, the Lord just honors that. So if you have other questions, feel free to send us a message or send us an email, and we'll get back with you on those. And but other than that, what should we just pray? You got any other questions or comments?
Nope, that was it.
All right. Well, guys, we love you. We're looking forward to seeing you. Father God, we just thank you for this time, Lord, whereby we can come together and, Lord, just reason together and love on one another. And we thank you for your word and the richness of it, Lord, and how it even guides us. Lord, it gives us parameters to kind of live by, even if it doesn't address a specific thing, but we can see the overarching emphasis of your heart to love one another. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, that we do that, as you have said, that others will know we're your disciples and that we have love for one another. And so, God, we're just excited to see one another face to face. And we pray, God, that you continue to be glorified and that this fellowship would continue to be edified. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.